Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, May 30th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Well, I hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I hope it was all the relaxation you needed. It definitely helped me. So we also had a ton of sports going on. So let's just go ahead and skip right on to the world of baseball. And the A's have the worst record since 1900 through 53 games with only 10 wins. They are also now 10-45. The Oakland team has lost 11 straight in a row. That is the longest losing streak since 1995. They've also been swept 8 times so far this season. If they keep up this pace of losing, they will finish 29-133, which would be the most losses in the modern era of baseball. The current record is held by the 1962 Mets at 40-120. So yikes, not something you want to be known for. The Cubs upset the Rays on Monday night with a one-hitter by their pitcher Stroman. The Rays still lead the league with 39 wins, although the Orioles aren't too far behind with 35. And then to leave you with some positive baseball news, since we started with some negative news, White Sox relief pitcher Liam Hendricks is back after being diagnosed and treated for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma disease. He threw a pitch last night, and his first pitch was a strike. I also want to go ahead and separate out NCAA baseball and softball, but we are going to tackle that next because there was a lot going on since we are in the postseason for both sports. We're going to go ahead and start with softball as we are further along in the process. And after this week, there are 8 teams left as the Women's College World Series is set. But let's go over what happened this weekend, and then I'll go through who the teams are in what to watch this upcoming week. And I am obviously biased. We all know that. I went to the University of Oklahoma, but I do have to go through what happened in the Sooners Super Regional, because number one, Oklahoma tied the longest winning streak at 47 straight games on Friday after their win over Clemson. The Sooners tied the record with the 1996/97 Arizona team. With a win on Saturday, they would hold the record all on their own. However, the Tigers put up a good fight. And this is where, if you are not a Sooner fan, I apologize, but you have got to hear this game went down. You can't write better stories. Game two started just like normal for the OU team. 2 home runs in the first inning, singles, so we're up 2-0. Then we had some quick innings till about the fourth, and OU had another solo home run and an earned run to bring the score to 4. However, Clemson was batting second, as technically OU is the host team, but they were technically away for game two. So Clemson then answered in the fourth with a 3-run home run to bring the game back within 1 score. That began the Tigers' comeback. Clemson then had a hell of a fifth inning, racking up four more runs on home runs and walks and earned runs. So that put the Clemson Tigers up 7-4 on the Sooners. Then we go all the way to the seventh inning. So this is the final inning. We have we being Oklahoma in this case. Oklahoma has two on base and yet two outs. And the Sooners and their streak were in huge trouble. That was until Hansen came up to bat. And on an 0-2 count, she hits a home run to tie the game, and we go into extra innings. It took till the ninth before OU had another home run, and that was the game. So again, Clemson did end up batting after that, but OU's pitching shut them out thanks to Jordy Ball. So OU does now hold the NCAA longest win streak record alone with 48 before the Women's College World Series begins this next week. Also, only two super regionals went to three games, number 15 Utah versus San Diego State and Alabama and number 5 Alabama versus number 12 Northwestern. San Diego State barely beat Utah late on Friday night before losing 10-1 on Saturday and 7-2 on Sunday. And then number 12 Northwestern upset number 5 Alabama 3-1 on Friday before the Crimson Tide took it back with close games 2-1 and 3-2 on the weekend. All eight teams that are in the Women's College World Series are ranked teams. We did have three that made it past the regional round, but they are all out now. So number 3 Florida State and number 6 Oklahoma State were the first to punch their tickets, winning in straight games. That is technically a tennis term, but it kind of appears in this one since it's best of three on Friday. Number 9 Stanford has also made their first Women's College World Series since 2004. The remaining teams are also number 4 Tennessee and number 7 Washington. Now, on the men's side, so baseball postseason also began this week, or will begin this week. We had conference championships this past weekend. We have 10 SEC teams that made the postseason. That ties the record for the most, which was set back in 2014. However, 8 will host regional rounds, and that is a new record. The ACC is next with 8 teams in the postseason, as well as the Big 12 has 6 and the Pac-12 has 5. Now, Vandy has the longest streak of 17 postseasons made. Texas has the record for most overall with 62, which is a new record. Tulane went 19-40 this season, but won the American Conference, so they are officially the team with the most losses ever to make the postseason. Oral Roberts has a 18-game win streak on the line, and then they did not have any team debut in their postseason for NCAA baseball, but Penn has had the longest drought until this time when they were in for the first time since 1995. Moving along to NBA basketball, as that is obviously, we've been going on, and we do have finals set. So that kind of is a little bit of a spoiler, but I'm going to go over what happened anyway. So early in the week, the Nuggets swept the Lakers in just 4 games. So they are going to their first NBA finals. And then the Heat looked to do the same in game 4 at home, but the Celtics did avoid that sweep in dominant fashion, winning 116-99. They went off on 3-pointers, shooting 40%. The Boston team then went on a run to try and do something that has literally never been done before. Teams are 0-150 when being down 3 games into game 4, but they were going to try. Game 5 was over by half with the Celtics being up 17. Game 6 was on Saturday and it was a lot closer, but the Celtics did get the W by just 1 point on a buzzer beater to take the series to a potentially historic Game 7 on Monday night. And yet there's a reason why teams who are up 3-0 are 150-0 as the Heat won in dominant fashion, 103-84. And that was also Celtics star Tatum went out of the game with an ankle twist. I don't believe it's fully, it's a twisted ankle. He just kind of tweaked it and then he was out of the game. The Heat are the first 8 seed to make the NBA Finals since 1999. So we will see the Nuggets versus the Heat. Also, the 76ers hired former Raptors head coach Nurse. He is well known for his defensive game and took the Raptors from allowing the fewest steals while also logging the most steals of any team since the stat started, which was the mid-70s. So the 76ers are set, and the Suns look to be closing in on hiring their head coach as well. No news had dropped as of yet. A tiny bit of football news, as the Cardinals have released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. This is mostly due to salary cap issues, and that release of Hopkins gives the team about $8 million in wiggle room. So we'll see who picks up the stellar wide receiver. Also, the NFL is thinking about taking the ball to the 25 after fair catches are called. So that would be a new rule for the NFL, but that is not new as of college football. In the world of golf, you might have heard chanting for USA at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth over the weekend. However, I personally was cheering for an Argentinian, as Argentinian Emiliano Grillo took the lead on the 16th hole after rookie Hall fell apart. And Grillo had a two-shot lead going into the final hole of the entire weekend and looked to have it in hand before his tee shot inconveniently went into the concrete drainage canal. It literally floated back 150 yards before catching and finally stopping on a rock. Literally never seen anything like that in my life of watching golf. That obviously ruined his lead. He had to drop and take a penalty. And so we did head into a playoff with American Adam Shank. Yes, that is actually his last name. It is a terrible name for a golfer. First playoff hole had no definitive result as they went back to the 16th for the second playoff hole. And that's when Grillo made a 5-foot birdie. This was his second PGA Tour win. His other was back in 2015 in Napa. And the reason why most of us, or at least a lot of us, were cheering for Grillo, who, even though he wasn't American, because he had an extremely cute moment with these kids while he was prepping for the playoff. He invited two young fans to hit some shots with him on the first tee. And then, of course, he gave them signed paraphernalia after he won the playoff. But good karma comes back around. So it was just nice to see that as well. Also, Scottie Scheffler aced the eighth hole on Sunday as well. We also had a LIV golf event this week in Washington, D.C. at Trump National. And for the first time, Harold Varner III wins on a birdie on the last hole to take his first win in the United States. And so a huge congratulations to HV3 and his entire family. I know his wife, and it's just so nice to see him get a win here in the United States. So congratulations. He won by one stroke over Brendan Grace. So congratulations, Harold Varner, on your win there. Moving on to hockey, as the Stanley Cup playoffs and finals are officially set. So let's go over what happened over the last week. The Panthers swept the Hurricanes, and the Florida team scored with just 2.4 seconds left in game four to take the sweep. This will be their second appearance in the Stanley Cup final. The Golden Knights looked to do the same thing to the Stars on Thursday in just four games, but the Dallas team finally got one back in overtime to start their comeback. Remember last week, the Dallas team had literally been leading, and then we gave up the lead, and then we went to overtime, I believe it was twice, and literally within 90-something seconds, the Golden Knights would win in overtime over the Stars. So it was nice to see the Dallas team get one back in overtime. So they did avoid the sweep. The Dallas team then also won Game 5 in regulation this time, but that is where the comeback train stopped. Last night, the Vegas team put the Stars to shame, just destroying them, winning 6-0. So the Stanley Cup Finals are the Florida Panthers versus the Golden Knights of Las Vegas. A little bit of Olympic news and some random college sports for you, but Notre Dame won their first lacrosse national championship this weekend. They beat Duke to take that natty. Canada, also a little bit of hockey news, but it's more on the Olympic side as it is team-based. So Canada wins men's hockey world over Germany. They won 5-2. No shocker there, really. I mean, shocker, Canada wins the hockey world championships. No. But the United States and Latvia were in the bronze medal match that went into overtime. Then Latvia ended up coming out victorious, and Parliament declared it a national holiday the day after they finished third, since it was their best finish ever. And if you're like, man, that seems really extreme, hockey is actually that nation's top sport. So it was a huge deal for Latvia. So the United States takes fourth. American shot putter Ryan Crouser broke his own world record again on Saturday at the LAGP, so in track and field. The new mark is 23.56 meters. He is the first person to ever throw over 23.5. Previously, his world record was 23.37. We were on notice the entire time. His first two throws were like right around his world record. So we pretty much knew something big was coming. Also, it was regionals weekend for NCAA track and field athletes. So this was just a qualifying meet to get into nationals, which will take place in 2 weeks in Austin, Texas. Sticking with some Summer Olympic sports, World Aquatics may move their headquarters to Hungary. They have started that process, as Hungary has hosted Worlds in 2017 and 2022 and will again in 2027. So they would move away. They're currently with the rest of the IOC in Switzerland, but they're looking to make that move into Hungary. And then finally, we have some tennis news as the French Open began last week. And number 2 overall seed on the men's side, Medvedev, lost in the first round and is out. There really were no other huge upsets in round 1, and we're currently in the middle of round 2. Americans Coco Gauff, Sloane Stephens, and Madison Keys are all still in, but so is Polish tennis champ and defending champ Iga Świątek. On the men's side, Spanish Alcaraz and, of course, Djokovic are still in as well. There are actually 10 American women of the 18 that are still in that second round, whereas only 5 American men advanced to the second round over 6 of the 16 that were possible. So there will be a new champ on the men's side, as Nadal is the reigning French Open champ and he is not competing. That pretty much wraps up what happened over the last week. Now let's go over what to watch this upcoming week. And as always, we start with some MLB baseball. Tonight, the Phillies at the Mets at 7 on TBS. Then the Thursday, catch the Angels at the Astros at 7:10 on Fox Sports 1. Then Friday, you can catch a couple of games on Apple TV Plus. If you don't have that, though, we skip to Saturday as the Guardians take on the Twins or the Yankees at the Dodgers at 6:15 on Fox, followed by the Cubs at the Padres at 9:10 on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday, wrapping up the MLB weekend, the Cardinals at the Pirates at 10:35 on Peacock, and the Yankees at the Dodgers at 6 on ESPN. In the NCAA baseball world, we have postseason regionals starting on Friday. So I'm going to go through the teams once, and then from there, only about half of the teams are actually televised. The rest you can catch on ESPN Plus. And then I have to go basically with general game times and what channels they're going to be on, because it just depends on what happens in that region. It is double elimination. So on Friday, the half of the regionals you can catch is UConn versus Texas Tech at 11 a.m. on ESPNU. Kentucky then plays Ball State at noon on SEC Network. Campbell plays NC State at noon on ACC Network. LSU faces Tulane at 2 p.m. on ESPNU. Tennessee takes on Charlotte at 5 on ESPNU. East Carolina will face the Oklahoma Sooners at 6 on ESPN2. Iowa takes on UNC at 6 on ACC Network. Vandy, number 1, versus Eastern Illinois at 7 on SEC. TCU takes on Arizona at 8 on ESPNU. And finally, Texas A&M versus Cal State Fullerton at 9 on ESPN2. Then on Saturday, Saturday and Sunday both are actually the same. So for Saturday's, the lineup, you can catch NCAA regional games at 11, 2, 5, and 8. And those channels, they will be on ESPN, ESPN2, SEC Network, and sometimes ACC Network. Same exact schedule goes for Saturday as Sunday. And again, it is double elimination. Sorry, I can't give you a little bit more specifics than that, but that's the specifics that I get as well. Going over to softball, though, Thursday we begin the College World Series. Number 4, Tennessee versus number 5, Alabama at 11 a.m. on ESPN. Then number 1, Oklahoma takes on number 9, Stanford at 1:30 on ESPN. Number 3, Florida State takes on number 6, Oklahoma State at 6 on ESPN. And finally, a Pac-12 matchup of number 7, Washington versus number 15, Utah at 8:30 on ESPN. Friday, we then see game 5 is losers of the first two games, so Tennessee, Alabama, and Oklahoma, Stanford. They will play at 6 on ESPN. Game 6 is the losers of the second two games, so Florida State, Oklahoma State, and Washington, Utah. They will play at 8:30 on ESPN. Then on Saturday, you have the winners of the first two games play in Game 7. They will play at 2 on ABC. Game 8 will be the winners of the second two games at 6 on ESPN. So you basically, if you win your first game, you end up going to the winner's bracket. And if you lose, you go to the loser's bracket. If you are in the loser's bracket, you have to win the entire rest of the way because it is double elimination. So you cannot drop another game. Whereas if you are in the winner's bracket, you can drop another game, which I'll get to in a second. That will be Monday night. So on Sunday, this is where it gets a little complicated. Sunday is game 9, winner of game 5, so those loser games, versus the loser of the game 8, which is the winner's games. They play at 2 on ABC. Then game 10 is winner of game 6 versus loser of game 7. So again, winner of those losers games and loser of those winners games at 6 p.m. on ESPN2. Those are basically to determine who is going in to the final, like quote unquote semifinals, let's call it. Monday is the semifinals, winner of game 7 versus winner of game 9 at 11 a.m. on ESPN. Winner of game 9 has lost at some point because they either like lost the first game and that's how they got there, or they lost the second game and so that's how they got there. So either way, winner of game 7 versus winner of game 9, they play at 11 on ESPN. And then if the winner of game 9 wins, then you have a game 3 for that matchup to end up having a double elimination for either team. Same thing goes with the next game, which is the winner of game 8 versus the winner of game 10. They play at 6 on ESPN. Same thing if we need a game 3, that will also be played. So the final will be a best of 3 series, and that will begin on Tuesday, June 6th. If that was as clear as mud, it's a little bit harder to explain just talking about it, and it's a lot easier to see it on paper, and then it's a lot easier in the bracket form, which is on the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports. So check that out if that just really confused you. Moving on to NBA, this is very straightforward as the finals obviously begin this week. Thursday is game 1, so we get a nice little break. Game 1 is Heat at the Nuggets at 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Game 2 will be Sunday. Again, Heat at the Nuggets. Then we will switch and go to Miami, but that will be next week. Moving on to football, we do have some USFL, and that will begin Saturday, Houston at Pittsburgh at 11 a.m. on USA, followed by Philly at Birmingham at 2 on NBC. Sunday, Memphis plays New Jersey at noon on Fox, followed by Michigan at New Orleans at 3. On the PGA Tour this weekend, we have the Memorial Tournament, which begins round 1 on Thursday. You can catch that at 2 on Golf Channel. Same goes for Friday with round 2. Saturday, catch Memorial round 3 at 12:30 on Golf Channel, and then we switch over to CBS at 1:30. Same goes for the final round on Sunday of the Memorial. That will be 12:30 on Golf Channel and 1:30 on CBS. Hockey We literally only have game one this week, so it is only on Saturday. The Stanley Cup Final, game one, Panthers at the Golden Knights at 7 on TNT. Game two will also be in Vegas before we make the switch over to Florida. Game two will be Monday, so just be ready for that. We also have another Formula One weekend this weekend. So Sunday, catch the Spanish Grand Prix at 8 a.m. on ESPN. This weekend's Monaco Formula One GP was actually very exciting for once. So I'm not a huge F1 fan because of that, but it actually was exciting. And then moving on, the only times we have French Open that is on regularly scheduled cable is on Saturday. The third round will be at 11 a.m. on NBC. And then the fourth round will also be televised on Sunday at 11 on NBC as well. That wraps it up for me this week. Again, lots going on. Hope you had a wonderful long weekend. So we will be back to regularly scheduled programming with the podcast on next Monday, because it is obviously not a holiday. So thanks so much for being flexible with that, and I will catch you all next week.